I'm Tanya Hansel, and we've had a miniature lab here in Louisiana over the past decade due to Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf oil spill, and really giving us opportunities to take a very bad situation and learn from those and hopefully inform other disasters. And part of that was the disaster pass toolkit. I have placed a number of copies on the table in the back outside. Please feel free to grab one. It's also available online, and that information will be in this presentation, so you can access that also. But this started out, it was sold to me as a pamphlet by Dr. yeah, you see the thickness of this, right? By Dr. Anthony Speier. Oh, I didn't start my timer. By Dr. Anthony Speier, who was at the Office of Behavioral Health with the state of Louisiana. And I thought, oh, this sounds great. He said, wouldn't it be fabulous to have had some guidance following Hurricane Katrina when we would, in matters of days, would be requested by the state to survey mental health, what's the mental health status, and constantly over recovery, and then again, a few short days after the Gulf oil spill, the state was calling and saying, what's going on with mental health? We need this information. And so it would have been very helpful, and I said, oh, that's a great idea. Little did I know that later this huge document would have been my pamphlet. But I still really believe in it and think it really does help. We've been able to use this with our colleagues following the Chilean earthquake, some of our colleagues following Hurricane Sandy, and in Japan. So it's actually been a really good, helpful tool to be able to sit down with some individuals that are interested in finding out what those mental health needs are. Mainly, this just gives you a how, a who, a how, a when, and a where for surveillance following disasters. If you haven't worked in a disaster setting, it's quite chaotic. And, you know, even the best research methods handbook doesn't go into the realities of why you would need to study certain constructs and what the best method would be, and you probably don't have time to get all of that information. So this really, the disaster pass, really allows kind of a very useful tool that coincides with many of the FEMA regulations. The scales that we provide are all free and publicly available, which is really key because funding can often be very slow in a disaster where you've been given a task of something you need to do, but you don't get funding for sometimes a year to 2 years after you've been requested to complete some work. So we felt like it was very important to have free and publicly available tools. It's flexibly designed because we know that the way that we measured mental health following Hurricane Katrina was very different than how we measured it after the Gulf oil spill. And that's going to be true for any disaster. The who for this really helps to find who was affected. We know that resources are finite following a disaster, and this can just help address where services should be driven and what the magnitude of those services can be. So it's really important for grant writing and for service direction. The data-informed knowledge can help determine what levels of services are needed. So knowing that not everyone's going to need, 8 to 10 sessions of CBT treatment, but they may do fine with psychoeducation, and knowing what types of those services are needed. Very similarly, after Hurricane Katrina, we had a lot of issues with PTSD and depression. Following the Gulf oil spill, we found that it's more anxiety. So being able to target those services before implementing them is really important to get the services that are needed to the people that need it. This was also an important one that we discovered. Following Hurricane Katrina, it was such a massive destruction that there was a need almost everywhere. But following the Gulf oil spill, it was more small pockets of people that were affected. And so we had to use a different type of sampling, and this is all gone over in the toolkit of what types of sampling you might want to use, which ones would be best, and why. they would be needed. We used more purposive sampling down and went directly into many of the fishing communities to really gauge that direct effect. And the when. The timeline we follow in this, we made it where it can be applied to not just national disasters, but we followed the FEMA timeline of the ISP and the RSP, so when those grant, because we found that our findings from the data really helped inform the grant writing process at the state level. So we went along with that timeline, so that way it would be applicable, but also showed where deviations might occur. And we also have a caveat of evaluation and how to use these ongoing monitoring of mental and behavioral health for service delivery, evaluation reporting, outcomes, and how those can be tied to get the most bang for your buck. Like I said, the immediate services program, that ISP from FEMA, that 14 to 60 days, it has a brief screening available for that. And then the regular services program, that can be 60 days, and what we found extended way beyond that 180-day limit from Hurricane Katrina, and it goes more in-depth. So that way we would have more comprehensive, and the brief screening was just really a quick, down and dirty, very simple assessment of kind of the immediate needs. And these are more kind of long-term, ongoing needs in that RSP phase. And the how, that's the primary, the bulk of this extended pamphlet, as I'm calling it. And that was to, and it's beyond choosing constructs, appropriate screening tools, how to sample, IRB guidelines, and all that, the issues that you may come along with, and that we found, and that from our personal experience following both Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf Oil spill, and how those played out, and some of the issues that we had, and how to really address those in hopefully a pretty concise manner. It also kind of flows the whole system of it and can kind of build on it. So you've got the immediate, you have the disaster, you have the immediate screening phase, you have data analysis, knowledge, dissemination, which is a really important part. That's a lot of the grant writing, not necessarily dissemination at conferences such as these, but that's also an important part too. And then you develop the full screening tool. So that's the longer, more comprehensive one. IRB, if needed. Collaboration was a huge piece in this. We collaborated a lot with our folks at UCLA and the National Child Traumatic Stress Network and a lot of our SAMHSA affiliates. And then you can update the screening tool for time relevance. We found that that was really important with some of our, there's also a section on child and adolescent screenings, and we've been conducting those in the school system since Hurricane Katrina, and we updating the school screenings to incorporate other types of crises in the area, and the Gulf Oil spill was extremely important. And then the extended screening phase is ongoing more than 1 year post-disaster. And for both of our major disasters that we've had in this area, we found that a year is definitely not enough time, that we have to keep going back because the needs keep changing. For each disaster, they've been changing differently. Okay. And then community resilience, understanding what the needs are and what strengths can really help drive these services that we want to put in place for mental health, and not going at everybody as a victim, but more of that kind of survivor mentality can help really understand the strengths that a community can build and really which services are going to best address some of the problematic behaviors, but also heighten those strength behaviors. And that's all incorporated into the toolkit. Are there any questions?